Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. It's Wednesday, October 12th. If we got a great show for you today.
Oh, yes.
We do every day.
Oh, yes.
You see, and Tori with her sexy voice will turn you on.
I sound like a ghost in your closet. Boo.
Well, it's funny. I just had a drink of water, and I was just about to burp as I had to turn on the microphone.
Oh, very sexy way to start the show.
I know. So I thought I'd better try and hold that. Although, you know, Howard Stern has no qualms about burping in the air.
I don't think Howard Stern has any qualms, period.
Well, you know. He's changed over the years. When was the last time you listened to
him? I like Howard Stern. I really like his interviews. I think his interviews are fantastic.
Yeah, and
usually,
he's funny.
Oh, and I like Robin a lot. I just think I get his shock jock, and lately he's been much more tame.
Oh, yeah. He's mellowed out.
But I still, his interviews, he's one of the best radio and TV interviewers. I know it sounds like he's not really doing it, but he is smart. He catches people right off guard and gets them to say some amazingly open things.
Yeah.
He's a great interviewer.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I mean, he inspired me. And I remember when I would listen to his show and I'd go, God, I'd love to do that.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So there we are. You know,
he was the icon.
We're no Howard Stern, but at least we get to play in the same playground.
Yes, we do. I'm going to go. Robin was always, if I ever was doing radio, I think she's a great co-host.
Yeah, she really is. Yeah. I mean, look, they've lasted 30
Forever.
Years.
Yeah. So long, yeah.
Yeah. So
here's hoping it's to us.
I know. I was just saying that. Let's hope we do have 30 years
for
together.
Sure.
Can you imagine? We're
here
walking with a cane.
Oh, my God.
Actually, no. You in 30 years will only be.
I'd be like 60.
Yeah.
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 Well, I'd hope I don't have a cane in 60.
I know. Shit, I'm 56.
You seem super fit.
What the fuck?
You're fine.
Thank you. Well, I only look super fit. I don't do anything at all, and I need to do a lot of exercise.
Oh, really you're not an exerciser.
No, not at all. Not at all, Tori.
Like zero.
Zero.
Wow.
Zero.
Well,
yeah.
You still seem in shape. Good for you.
Thank you. I just, I don't eat a lot.
Yeah,
you know? I
mean, good metabolism.
I only eat when I have to.
That's
and
great.
When I'm really hungry.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't eat in between meals. As much so, yeah, you know, and I try to stay active as far as not sitting around a lot, but you know, so it's funny because on my Apple Watch there's an app like that keeps track of your movement and activity
mm-hmm.
throughout the day, right? So there's like three bars, one for steps, one for getting up, whatever, and one for exercise. My exercise one is always at zero every day.
No, I get. Is there one exercise or genre you like that is?
Yes, my bike, and I don't ride it enough.
Okay, so why is what are the top three reasons you don't ride your bike?
Because I only get around to it late at night when I'm done with work.
Oh, and then it's kind of hard to bike at night. Okay.
But then I have the weekend, which I can do that. But then I get lazy having to load my bike up on the car and take it somewhere else because.
Totally.
Sometimes I hurt my back doing that thing. So
sounds like a mess. Have you ever done like Soul Cycle or like one of the biking stationary bikes one?
I hate those.
I want to try. I've never done it. I don't think I can because of the smell.
Really?
Won't it just smell so bad?
You mean like when you're in the gym?
Yeah, when the next class comes, my hoo-ha sitting on that little thing that someone else's hoo-ha was sitting
true,
on.
True, right?
I don't know. Wouldn't it hurt my hoo-ha as well?
Maybe. It depends how it's shaped.
I think it's very small. I mean, it seems very like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm done. I can't. But good for those who do.
But bikes are cool. You know, I love riding the bike.
Yeah.
And I should do it more often. I mean, I have a great bike.
Maybe take it to the beach this weekend. Although it is a little chilly, isn't it?
Yeah, but I do. That's my favorite place to go with
the bike.
Maybe I will. I should do that. I need to get a little more active.
That's exactly right. I think this is maybe a reason you brought it up. Maybe this is to pump you up.
Right. Yeah. And you brought it up.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, I'm also afraid riding on the streets because it's so dangerous.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
I don't do that.
Terrible idea.
Yeah, so riding around the house is not a good idea. Yeah. Only on the small streets, but, you know, you can't ride those forever.
No.
So today's Yom Kippur.
Yes.
And I'm surprised we're even here.
I know. What bad Jews we are.
I know. And, you know, I got to be honest with you. I totally forgot it was going to be Yom Kippur today. So yesterday, I thought, I was sort of like expecting an email from you saying, wait a minute, we forgot. It's Yom Kippur. I'm not coming in.
Oh, man, I'm such a bad Jew.
No, I was glad you didn't, because we have a guest on the phone.
That's
and
right.
We also have, you know, a show
right.
planned.
That's exactly right. No, so I think you can atone anywhere. Yeah. Although I really did used to go to temple, but I think you can atone anywhere and ask forgiveness anytime, anywhere, any place.
No, of course, exactly. But you're definitely not supposed to work.
No, but this isn't work for me. This is right. I was supposed to fast, and I was doing well until like I woke up, and then I was hungry.
So were you fasting the whole evening?
No. Like I mean, oh. No. I mean fasting. I used to fast, and I should fast, but I don't. Sometimes I don't see the connection between fasting and atoning. And I do get that it's supposed to make you concentrate and realize that other people don't have it as good and make you sacrifice. I get it.
Right.
But I just think I'm starving. So I'm not really concentrating on my sins at all.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's why they say you should be praying and being at the temple where you see people or you're busy.
Right. Okay, I see.
You know? But many people just stay at home, you know.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing is when you go out to the temple or something and you talk to people, everybody's got bad breath.
And everyone's really in a bad mood. No one's in a good mood. Everyone's just like, where's a fucking lunch?
Grouchy,
you know what I mean?
At about
and you're wearing like pantyhose as a woman and so uncomfortable. So yeah, like I mean my parents still fast. I mean my family definitely, but I'm studying Buddhism and I think I can atone and work in meditation better and more practically than fasting. But that's just choice.
Exactly.
It's just a personal preference.
If you don't feel it applies to you. You know, my story is that I grew up traditionally and we would fast every year and
me too.
My parents would
and
we would. And, you know, we would drive and all that stuff. But a couple of things happen. First of all, you come out here and you don't feel the holidays
no,
in the same way.
No, not at
you know?
All.
In the same way. Like today, I mean, you can't tell it's a holiday.
Not at all.
Only in this area you can kind of tell because the traffic is light because there's a lot of Jews living around here, you know.
And all you see are security guards with like AK-47s at the different temples, which is always like lovely.
Yeah, right.
But a lot of the temples need security on high holy days. They really do. And in DC where I went, we would go through metal detectors.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So that's sad. But no, I feel bad, but I don't because I am still working on myself.
Right.
Every other day.
Right.
But no, it was a tradition I held with my family. I think if I were back in DC, I'd fast with my family.
Yeah, exactly.
We got in and out here.
You
so
gotta
it's hard.
Be. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons. The second reason is I married a woman that was like my second marriage, and she was she grew up with not fasting and not really doing
this. So the tradition sort of changed.
Yeah, so to me it was like, oh, well, I have a way out, you know? The biggest thing about not fasting usually for Jewish people is guilt.
I was just going to say that. I mean, the guilt of the other Jews now listening, I already feel your guilt through the waves of the air. So no, it is a tremendous thing, but I'm working on guilt with Buddhism, so I'm doing fine. It all comes out.
I know. And you know what? The funny thing is also every family has its own like limits and boundaries of what you can and can't do on Yom Kippur, you know? I mean, for us at home, it would be like we couldn't even turn on electricity. So no TV, some lights you just leave on from the evening before.
Right.
You just leave them on so you don't turn them off and things like that. So so it was pretty traditional.
You know? We were traditional, but then we wouldn't do that far, and we would drive to temple, but then be like, let's stop here and walk so it looks like we're walking to the other Jews. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know. And, you know, I mean, growing up, I never realized that people do other things on Yom Kippur.
Yeah, different traditions.
Until video came out, and then you start realizing everybody's renting videos before Yom Kippur, and you realize that's what everybody's doing, whereas at home they tell you, well, you're not supposed to watch TV and movies, you know?
I remember watching a lot of movies.
Yeah.
But I was also at temple for like 5,000 hours during the day. So there you go. I made up for it.
Yeah, I guess. So it feels different if you live in Israel and if you live here.
And I
think that's why it's important to have Israel existing so people can keep the tradition, you know, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
The heritage. Thank
heritage.
You.
Heritage. That's
is
a great word.
What I'm looking
there
for.
You go.
Yeah. Gotta keep the heritage.
Gotta keep the heritage.
Yeah. So this is cool. I mean, I just saw they showed a little story here on CNN about a guy that does aerial photography of London. Is at it? Night. And is then it? I was thinking,
is it Andre?
No, it's not. I was trying to see if it was, but it's another guy. It's
our boy crush.
Yeah, I'm
Andre
sure.
He's liked a couple things on my Facebook page, and every time he does, I'm like, yeah.
I noticed that because he's a liberal himself, it seems like, right?
Yeah, he is, but he also...
He's totally anti-Trump.
Yeah, but he likes some of my other things that were just funny.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. No, I mean, you put up fun things. I like your stuff.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
But you know what I do recommend is when people post, they should post different things on the social media thing. Because let's say you put something and it automatically goes on Instagram and Facebook.
Right.
It's like I've already seen it on one of them.
Right. Like keep it separate. I kind of agree.
So you got to, if you want people on both platforms, you got to feed them different things.
That's right.
You
know? It's like the two different wolves. Yeah. You got to both feed them different things.
Exactly.
Very true.
All these narcissistic women that I follow are like dripping new pictures
every day. Why do you follow them?
I'll tell you why. Because that narcissism fascinates me. I have to read. Like when you get someone who clearly only advertises her body and her looks and everything, and then she writes all these like wisdoms. To me, it's like the funniest thing.
Oh, so it doesn't frustrate you?
No, not at all. Okay. I mean, I would not follow them. I mean, I never like any of these pictures or posts, but they do make you stop and look.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
But all those pearls of wisdom that these girls like to dispense is just hilarious to me. I find it very entertaining. Yeah. And I also find, you know, people that I stop associating with or something, if they don't unfriend me or something, I don't unfriend them either. I want to know what other people are doing.
I don't unfriend unless I'm, like, offended. Right. Yeah, I don't really unfriend a lot unless you're giving me, like, sunglass advertisements. Then you're out of here.
Exactly. But, yeah. Either that or you start calling names on my threads.
Or you're asking for Candy Crush lives. And, baby, I understand. I play Candy Crush. But, no, please don't ask me for Farmville. Like, that's not happening anymore. Go back to 2008. But yeah, no, what's weird is I guess I go to the newspaper, then I go to the HuffPo or some kind of like news organization, and then I go to Facebook to also get some news.
Right.
Which is kind of weird because it's curated and biased for me. So it's not very neutral.
That's right. That's why you should keep...
you got to keep the newspaper coming.
That too, yeah. And then have friends that are, you know, don't delete all the ones you don't agree with.
Yeah, I have someone that every time I post a liberal tweet anti-Trump, he hits me right back with a pro-Trump response. And we get into conversations about it. No one's angry. No one's mean.
Good.
But I don't unfriend him for that. That's sort of the whole point of politics.
I know. People don't understand
that. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah. But I was watching today an...
Hold on. I'm going to stop you on that one. Okay, because our guest is calling.
Yeah. Good. It wasn't a good story.
So, we'll come back.
Saved by the bell.
So we're looking for Marilee Kern. Are you with us, Marilee, this morning?
I am. Hey there.
Hi there.
Welcome back on our show. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks so much for having me back.
Of course. Yes. We figured you probably had a good time if you wanted to come back on the show. So we were happy to have you back. Talk about some new innovations and things like that. So real quick, just remind us, where are you calling us from today?
I am in sunny San Diego.
Always San Diego.
So no complaints there.
That's right. Now I remember that's where you were in San Diego. And cool. So now let's get right into the stuff you want to talk about. A little bit about you. What is it that you do?
I'm with theluxlist.com, and it's basically a review entity where we do product reviews and we review travel destinations, restaurants. So if you're looking for gift ideas or somewhere to travel or somewhere fabulous to eat, you can go to the Lux List and kind of search based on your parameters, like your city, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, we'll give you, you know, kind of my first person, you know, recommendations. I personally review the products. I go on site to the destinations and that kind of thing. So it's kind of tried and true advice.
Yeah. Sounds like a boring life to me, traveling all over the place and stuff, right?
Yeah, wow. No complaints.
Yeah, there you go. So deluxelist.com, you guys can check it out and see there's a lot of stuff going on there and a lot of reviews and articles and blogs and everything else you might be able to think about. So is this your website, Marilee?
It is. Deluxelist.com. And
wow.
I'm also on TV all over the country, also, you know, talking about really kind of cool and new and innovative brands like some of the health-driven, tech-driven health stuff that we're going to pick back up on today. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so last time we were talking about gadgets and apps and things like that. Today I have some new things for us, so let's get right into it. Tell us, what are some of the things you'd like to talk about that we should know?
Yeah, well, I'm going to start off just because, you know, it's Halloween season. We're heading into the holidays. There's chocolate everywhere. And, you know, diet and fitness and health is starting to become a concern for many. So I want to talk about, I'm going to start off with a kitchen gadget, then kind of some diet survival after that. So just a really cool piece of kitchenware, some cookery that I found. Definitely a weight-wise appliance for the kitchen. It's called the Tefal Actifry. And basically, it's a super versatile, time-saving kitchen gadget that will allow you to prepare and enjoy so many of your favorite dishes, not only hands-free, but also really healthfully because you can use little or no oil, just a tablespoon at most, even if at all. A lot of the meals, you don't need any oil at all. So really, the word fry in the product name is kind of misleading because it actually uses hot air circulation technology and a stirring paddle to make super tasty, low-fat meals. And I'm talking everything from meats and chicken, seafood, vegetables, side dishes, all kinds of things. And because food's always cooked precisely at this optimal 338 degree temperature, there's no preheating necessary, and meals are cooked you know, really quickly, effortlessly. It's kind of like you turn the button on and, you know, you leave the kitchen and 20 minutes later, things are good to go. So it's a really, really handy device to have when you're trying to eat healthy this season.
Wow.
Yeah, sounds good.
Sounds like a Star Trek machine. You leave and come back and it's just cooked.
Yeah.
And you know what I love about it? It's literally one button operation. And because it doesn't use oil, it's really safe. I myself have kids. So, you know, they can literally make healthy French fries. You know, you just chop up or even get frozen or eat fresh potatoes, put them in there, and it's just hot air that's going to circulate and cook. So
they're
not going to get burned from oil and that kind of thing.
That's very cool. I like that. And
yeah,
for people that are lazy about cooking and stuff like me.
This is good for you.
Yeah, there you go. You know, I mean, most of the stuff. The reason I don't cook most of the time is because I'm just too lazy to cook. But something like this, I'm going to check it out. So what's it called again?
This is the Tefal, T-Fal, F-A-L, Actifry. And speaking of holiday gluttony season, I want to talk health tech as it relates to science and biotechnology next. So on the nutrition and diet front, innovative and non-invasive biotech today is now allowing dieters to safely supplement their weight loss efforts with plant-based and stimulant-free fat-binding products that are clinically tested to accelerate weight loss but without jitters and those other nasty side effects. So one product driven by really cool biotech is called iRemove Fat Binder from BMI Smart. It's actually been the number one weight loss seller in Europe for the past 5 years. The technology just made its way to the U.S. this past January, and the science here is so cool. So let me tell you how it works. It contains a patented fiber complex called Liftramine made from prickly pear cactus using a proprietary manufacturing technology, and this allows the ingredients to bind to fat molecules from ingested food, making them too large to be absorbed. So fat ends up getting eliminated from the body, basically, before having a chance to be absorbed and metabolized. It just kind of passes right through the GI tract. And the Liftramine in this particular product is special, as over 25 clinical studies have shown there's no other prickly pear cactus product on the market that can mimic its results or even get close for that matter. Only this iRemove has pharmaceutical-level effectiveness, and that's the key. And it accelerates healthy and sustainable weight loss up to 3 times more than you would get with sensibly dieting alone. And that's actually a point I want to make. You don't have to do kind of a crazy crash diet or, you know, hardened meal planning with this. Just eat sensibly, you know, common sense diet, and, you know, you can lose up to 3 times more weight. So it's a great accelerant, but it's stimulant free. And that's kind of been, you know, the deterrent for a lot of people with dietary supplementation. You get that caffeine crash and the jitters. Most will have zero side effects, you know, with this if taken as directed. So, it's worth checking out. Really, really cool biotech there at iRemoveWorks.com. You can learn all about that.
It's iRemove. What is it? I'm sorry.
iRemoveWorks. The letter I.
Oh,
iRemoveWorks.com. And I believe you can get a 1 month supply less than $60.
Wow.
So pretty good.
Cool. Sounds interesting. Okay, cool. Next, what do we have? I see something about personal care. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, you know, I want to talk personal care. We all want to look our best, you know, at the holiday parties and just in general. And, you know, as the new year approaches, people really start to kind of rethink their personal care regime. So here's a really cool anti-aging device. It's called the Silken Silken Face FX, the letter FX, which uses light-based home fractional technology to benefit the skin. So basically, this is a handheld gadget. It uses a combination of red light energy, which is otherwise known as deep fractional light, in combination with deep thermal heat to stimulate collagen production and safely reach and treat multiple layers of skin. So not only does the Face FX diminish the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles and pores that are more surface level, it simultaneously penetrates really deeply into the skin to address larger wrinkles that are more deeply set and also spots of discoloration. So this improves skin texture, it'll brighten the skin color, and generally, you know, just provide clearer and a more radiant complexion. So it's a really great at-home device. You don't have to drive to the spa to have, you know, this kind of anti-aging therapy at home that genuinely works.
Right.
By the way, each session takes just 15 to 20 minutes, three times a week for the first month, and then after that, just once a month. So you can't beat it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And I presume it's pretty safe to use.
It is safe. Obviously, it comes with safety instructions. Anytime you're using a light-based technology, and there's all kinds of different lights. We talked about Cure UV last time I was on with the light that kills the microorganisms. You never want to point it in your eye and, you know, things like that. So definitely always read the safety pamphlet that comes with it. But, yes, it's cleared for home use and super effective. And you can check that out, by the way, at Silken, S-I-L-K-N.
Wow. So this actually works. I mean, I can actually remove wrinkles with this thing?
Absolutely. And, you know, you want to be consistent. It's not a one-hit wonder.
Right.
You know, you have to really follow the recommended regimen. So 15 minutes, you're going to do it three times a week for the first month. And then after that, and personally myself, and, you know, I like to think that I'm not kidding myself and seeing what I want to see.
Yeah.
But I genuinely feel like, you know, I had seen improvement. My skin color was brighter. You know, there were some little spots I felt like had faded. So now I just religiously use it once a month. And I feel like there's certainly no harm in doing so. It could only be helpful.
Sounds good.
I like that.
All right. You keep amazing us with some amazing products. You know, what makes me wonder is how people think about all this stuff, you know?
Yeah, the engineers.
It's incredible. It's amazing. The amount of ingenuity and innovation, especially in the health tech sector, which is why, I mean, this is, you know, we're talking about it again. It's just that really technology is driving so much creativity and innovation in this space. It's incredible.
Wow.
Sounds good. Okay, a couple more things, and then I also want to bring up your book. You have a new book, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Speaking of light therapy, though, I want to talk because, you know, I have teenagers myself, and, you know, obviously they have their own level of skin concerns, namely acne. So I did also want to talk about one other device you can get at that Silken.com company. It's called the Silken Blue, and it's used to treat both current acne and prevent future outbreaks. And this is a clinically proven, again, dermatologist-recommended and FDA-cleared device for at-home use. And this one combines the power of blue light emitting LED diode technology and infrared heat radiation to combat those root causes, again, of both existing acne that's there and also acne that's not there yet, but, you know, it's impending. So this is a really great device. Again, super safe for the kids. You basically, you know, turn the light on, you press it down on the problem areas, you know, the T-zone areas you might typically, and the blue light penetrates the skin to destroy the bacteria that lives deep beneath the skin surface, while the IR heat kind of initiates deep tissue warming and dehydrates the oil overproducing sebaceous glands, they're called.
Mm.
So it's kind of a 1-2 punch there with this light.
Mm.
And with regular use, again, you have to, you know, kind of follow the use recommendations. But, you know, within 3 weeks, you know, you could really get a handle on that acne. So somebody who's really, really struggling with that problem, this light-based therapy is really helpful. And it runs about $149.
Oh, so, wow, that's,
you know,
good.
Once you stop buying all the creams and all that other stuff, you know, it pays for itself.
Yeah, that's great.
Very cool. All right. Anything else before we get to your book?
I do. One more thing, and it's kind of a good segue because my book's related to children. So I do, again, kind of want to stick to kids. A really cool piece of safety technology, it's called the Unequal Halo. And basically, this is a protective headband for youth soccer players that utilizes something called Tri-Dur and Acceleron technology to keep kids' heads safe. And my kids play soccer, and I've seen, you know, my fair share of accidents, you know, where kids are having head-on collisions. So this basically uses Tri-Dur, which is a patented elastometric-coated Kevlar fabric that's used by the military and law enforcement. It's 5 times stronger than steel, with virtually an unmatched ability to absorb and dispense high-impact energy. So when they do have those head-on collisions, it's this kind of headband that's going to absorb that impact. And it doesn't look, you know, crazy. It's not like major headgear. Basically, it really looks like kind of a regular headband while offering really serious protection, so it's not bulky or embarrassing to wear in any way. And it can really, you know, eliminate a lot of the concerns that parents legitimately have, you know, for kids playing soccer. And that's, you can learn about that at unequal.com.
Wow, sounds good. Because obviously you can't play soccer with football helmets.
No,
stuff.
You're going to look like an idiot.
It's a different game.
Yeah. Well, on the football front, I'll just quickly mention, there's something also for children's safety called the CARE collar, K-E-R-R collar. And, you know, with all of the kind of energy around Will Smith's movie Concussion, and, you know, there's just been a lot of debate and discussion about head and neck injuries for football players. So this is a really good option. And it's kind of a device that you stick around the neck, sort of underneath the padding. And it sort of has that similar effect. It absorbs and displaces and disperses the energy that happens on impact. So it's a really great safety option for those who play football.
Sounds good.
I like it.
In the last couple of minutes, Marilee, let's talk about your book. I see you have children's books and making healthy choices. Tell us a little bit about those.
I do. It is a book, you know, childhood obesity is obviously a problem that's just running rampant in the country. And I've been in this industry in one way or another for so long relating to health and nutrition and weight loss. I kind of wanted to do my part. You know, I have a decent amount of knowledge and, again, my own children. So I wrote, my approach was to write a fictional children's book. It's a story. It's not, you know, a serious science-driven how-to parental advice. It's a story for children. It's a picture book, in fact. It's illustrated, you know, throughout. And it basically depicts the life and struggles of a child, you know, who's overweight and what they typically go through and face, the challenges. And then the story takes you through this, you know, epiphany, this change that's kind of driven by a visit to the doctor. Things aren't going well. And that sort of inspires not only the child, but the whole family to get healthy and fit. And the book kind of describes some ideas of, you know, how the child is doing that. And at the end, of course, you know, the child received, achieved a level of success there. So is the family, and, you know, they're living a healthy lifestyle. So it's intended, one, to help kids kind of, you know, not feel so alone when they're struggling with that issue, because, you know, they really, you know, sometimes feel very isolated. And two, it gives them, you know, legitimate kind of ideas and ways. It shows them that it's one simple choice after the other that can really make that difference. So it's a great story, and there's a boy and a girl's version available, because I wanted the story to really resonate with that child.
Right.
Yeah, that's great.
And yeah, that's what I noticed. You have two different editions, one for boys, one is for girls.
Yeah.
And you guys can find out more. What's the website where people can go in and find the book?
That's kidsmakinghealthychoices.com. And by the way, it's also available, the full book, the entire text, plus cool resources. There's an app, the Kids Making Healthy Choices app, on the iTunes store for 99 cents. So,
wow.
You know, can't beat it.
Can't beat that. That's great.
Yeah. Okay, well, Marilee Kern, thank you so much. You're always full of information and new stuff, and that's exciting. And I'm going to look at some of this stuff. I mean,
yeah, I like that.
Yeah, the cooking stuff. And there's a lot there. And obviously, you're focusing a lot on wellness and health and that's good, you know.
Yeah, coming up, you know, where I'm in holiday gift heaven. There's so much crossing my desk these days. So would love to talk to you about that up ahead.
All right. Sounds good. Okay, Marilee. Well, thank you. All the best to you.
My pleasure. Likewise. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Man, she is great. She's great voice. She can just... She doesn't stumble, man. She's great.
Yeah, she does what she's talking
about. Wow. Those sound really cool. I like the light one that'll fix my dark sunspots. That's the one I'm going to get. And, of course, the supplement weight loss one. That sounds good. I think that sounds good.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on to other things. The five toughest places to be a girl in the world.
Oh.
Right.
Wait, in the world?
In the world.
So, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of terrible places.
What do you think the top five are?
I mean, a ton. And there's got to be some in Africa.
Right, it's like, where do you start, right?
Yeah, where do you start? Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this. The top five, at least four, are Islamic countries.
Wow. Iran, Saudi Arabia, Iran?
No, Saudi Arabia is not as bad. The one I'm not sure about is Chad. That's in Africa,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, but they could still be Muslim and stuff. But Iran?
Yeah.
Syria?
Yeah.
Pakistan?
Yeah.
And the worst place is Yemen.
Yeah, well, Yemen's not good for anyone right now.
Right.
Yemen's under attack by everyone, but wow, isn't that interesting?
But they're looking at mostly at access to education
and
economic opportunity and things like that, you know?
Wow.
They're saying in Yemen the literacy rate of women is 55%,
wow.
Well, for men it's 85%.
Wow. That's insane to me.
Isn't it insane?
I joined a program called Women for Women, and it's really highly reputable. It was on Oprah, all this stuff. And what you do is women, you write and you find a woman in a certain country. They connect you and you write letters, and then she takes job vocation classes, women's rights and human rights classes, and also English and business classes for a year. And you guys communicate. And I joined Rwanda because I had read a book about Rwanda by Samantha Powers that I really wanted to do and help Rwanda. But they said the most countries that they're helping now are those of the Islamic, when the women are really behind in terms of any educational rights.
Right.
So yeah, Women for Women, look into it. Try and help some of these women out.
Yeah. You
know, unbelievable.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, people can talk about like extreme Muslims and stuff, but or Islamists, whatever you want to call them. But the fact of the matter is, this is how, that's what the Quran dictates, is to put women as like tools, as like possessions, as like, you know,
I think there's part of the Quran that is very much like the Bible, where there's a lot of interpretation and it's a lot of, and I mean, there's stuff in the Bible that says stuff about having women.
No, absolutely.
Right. But
I
it's
agree.
Like, it's like, how do you translate that into like a modern society? And it seems like that level hasn't been reached.
No, they're not modern societies,
no,
these places,
no.
You know? I mean, they're not modern societies.
No, I'm
societies,
so, you know, so. You're so lucky if you're born as a woman and you're born in the United States, you're already like 90% above the odds of everybody else.
That's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
You know? That's why. But people keep complaining, you know, so I don't
well,
know.
Well, everything needs
happy.
To be fixed.
Yeah, right.
We still don't want to be treated like crap.
I know. But that's the thing. I mean, here you're in a position where it's not like you have to be given respect. You earn it, you know?
Yeah, and but that took a lot of, like, fighting women to, like, get our vote, get the women's right to vote. Like, that took a lot of women standing up for ourselves. So I do think America is, like, of course, by far one of the most, you know, women are incredibly, they have incredible rights, but they're still not equal pay, like simple basic rights.
And that's puzzling, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's hard for me to believe, actually.
Oh, I know, but it is very, very, very true.
Right.
It's getting better, but that's because we're all speaking up. Like, the best thing to come out of this election, and there's been some shitty things to come out of this election. I can't think of like a really good thing to come out. And the one good thing is, I think women in the electoral vote found their voice a bit. I think women have really spoken up and became a bit more united. And if anything, that has raised questions about women that have been discussed in popular media stations that you maybe not have heard of before.
Right.
So that's interesting to me, because it is a gender war between these two. It's come down to gender,
right,
between Trump and Hillary. And so the only thing I can think of that's good is that the female question and gender role in America has been brought up to be given some attention,
yeah,
which is good. But other than that, it's all terrible.
Yeah, no. And besides, I mean, I think, you know, after a black president, I think a female president is not a bad idea. I just don't think Hillary is the right one to be there. But you know.
Well, I just think a female. If it's the right female, it's the right female. It doesn't matter who came before her. You know what I mean? I think it should be. But it's exciting for a female to see herself represented as a president.
Of course,
that's crazy.
Yeah. Every group wants to be represented.
See themselves. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's a really big day, I think, for females. When you vote November 8th, that's... Oh, did you hear Trump? He said, go out and get the vote November 28th. It's not November 28th. It's the 8th. It's
Whoa.
So embarrassing.
He
so he said it last switch. Night. So all these Democrats are like, yes, 28th. Yes, go out on the 28th.
He also referred to 9/11 as 7/11.
Yeah, man,
right?
This man is very classy with a capital K.
Well, he talks so much that he
gets confused.
Sometimes you stumble.
Oh my God,
know?
November 28th. Lord.
Right. But that's, yeah, so, you know, I mean, so those are the countries where it's hard to be a girl. And
It's hard to be human, I bet, in those places.
Yeah, it is, you know. That's why they especially all want to come here, man.
Well, I would.
You know, I know, but we can't take all of them.
No, but neither right. can Europe. I mean, we gotta spread it out.
Yeah, but why should we, you know, why should we compare ourselves to Europe?
It's no, like, I mean, I just think we're a country of immigrants that have always, I mean, the Statue of Liberty is like, we take your weak, we take your poor.
But we have other people here in this country that need more help than that. And I think that's a lot of resources that are going on the wrong, to help others before
I definitely hear
Americans.
That. It's valid, but the American... style is to always welcome others. I mean, that's the whole idea. We welcome, course, but it's I hear
be,
you.
But it's got to be in proportion.
I agree.
I think, you know?
And it's got to be vetted. I agree. Hillary says the same thing. It's got to be vetted.
Yeah.
He says extreme vetting, and that makes me just say Nazism.
Yeah, but no, people are scared, you know? I mean, because this is like a threat of taking us back to the Stone Age, you know? And that's the way they treated females back then, is like possessions, you know, like merchandise.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so, yeah, I hate to hear about this. And then people wonder, oh, why does America support Israel? Well, you know what?
Because they're the only, part of in the Middle world, East, that's right, they're the only ones.
The only ones that don't treat
that's
women
exactly
like this,
right.
You know? Now, at the same time, I do have to admit that in the more religious community in Judaism, it's a lot like Islam.
It is. And in an Orthodox way, women are more submissive.
Yes.
The man makes the decisions, and that's why I have a really big issue with Orthodox
Judaism.
Yeah,
you know. And then,
I really do.
So they have like prayers and blessings for the women, admiring the woman and everything. And then at the same time, she's expected to... to not excel in life. I mean, to just take care
it's
of the
so
family,
confusing.
Be
it's
the
so
position,
confusing.
You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, it's the
and
same
not be
thing.
A, and not right. be at the Talmudic talks, not discuss the Torah, not be part of the discussion. It's all men. The rabbis are men. It's like, I grew up with a female rabbi. And it was like, in D.C., it was kind of a big deal, you know, because I went to a conservative temple. But, man, I don't get it. I don't get how women can stay in that. In that sect, I can't get it.
Yeah, because they grow up that
way.
Yes, exactly.
You
know,
exactly,
and that's the thing. Yeah. That's what you don't know anything else. And that's why there's always defectors that they come out of that community and they tell you their stories of coercion and all that stuff. But freedom of thought, excuse me, for the most part, Israel is the only place in that part of the world that even comes close.
Yeah.
Not only that, but I think Israel even exceeds that by having so much innovation and brain power and things like that.
And
you know,
like,
I mean, a lot of innovation.
If you don't know, in Israel, I think I'm right, correct me if I'm wrong, after 18, you go to the army mandatorily, right?
Yes.
If that's a word. But it's not just men. It's men and women.
And women.
Which I always thought was so cool.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's just like straight up, there's no difference. I think that's awesome.
But women do have a choice whether to go or not. They have to, yeah.
I see, okay.
And I'm sure in time of war, it would change.
Sure.
Probably be different.
Right, but I like how badass that is.
They are. I mean, they walk around with guns around the city and stuff because, you know, people, when they go home, like for a break, for leave for a couple of days or something from their base, they'll take the bus, they'll walk around Tel Aviv, whatever, and they still carry
their weapons,
guns with
right.
them.
That's
their
just,
weapons.
I
with
always
them.
Thought when I heard that, I was like, oh, they the men and women. That's just so interesting to me.
It's I mean, and it's weird. Sometimes the gun is just as tall as
of course.
As the girl.
But
know?
It was like way before America was sort of allowing women to become on the. Remember, they wouldn't let them on the front lines. They wouldn't let them in combat. And I was like, well, look at Israel. They're doing it for years before us.
Exactly. Damn. When you don't have a choice, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Survival.
But yeah, so I mean, look, in Israel there's that disparity in pay and all that stuff as well, like we do here. But it's improving as well, you know.
Yeah.
So
well, I think a female president in America, if it happens, knock on wood, it would be a big sign to those countries that females I think I would hope that Secretary Clinton would make that a big deal of female power and women power in the global community and not just America, because it signifies a big thing that the biggest, richest, most prosperous, you know, place in the whole world has a woman president. That can send a message.
That's true.
I don't know, what maybe they'll take it the wrong way. I'm just saying it does send a message.
Yeah, no,
to the global
true.
community.
Right. Although, I mean, it's kind of like weird that we're not the first ones.
Oh, we are the last ones.
The last ones.
Australia, Germany, England. Right. I mean, we are very far behind. But I think this is the big one. You know what I mean? It's the big kahuna. But no, there's a lot of other, even Pakistan has a woman in government.
Yeah, right?
Like, I was like, wow.
I know.
So yeah, we are a little behind, but we're getting there.
A little behind. A little behind. That's why I'm thinking all these things put together will probably guarantee her.
Yeah, I think they said some polls going early will tell us if it she can win before we know in November 8th. Like the early voting might be able to be enough to tell.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
Wow. Sam's all, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to see this defeat.
Oh, Lord. It's not going to be good, my friend.
No, it's not. No. You know, I mean, then Donald Trump is alienating everybody.
Oh, God.
Not the entire party.
He said, I'm so glad I can, the party's not supporting me. I can take the shackles off and fight the way I want to. And I'm like, you have had shackles on?
Yeah, right?
What have you been
my
doing?
God. Yeah, exactly.
What now?
Well, yeah, what now? What the hell are you going to do now? What are you going to say now?
Yeah.
But you know what? I do have to admit, though, that I haven't put up this. I try not to put a lot of memes up that have to do with the politics.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing good ever comes out of it, okay? But the thing is, there's one where on the left side, it's all the things that Hillary has done wrong. And on the right side is, okay, Trump said this, Trump said that. Trump said this, Trump said that, Trump, and but it's like all words against action.
Yeah, but he's done
terrible
things also with like taxes, not paying his own workers, not giving pensions, not giving, like he closed down Taj Mahal Monday, the casino, because they didn't give pensions and health insurance benefits to union workers. So that is action.
Yeah.
You just hear about the words because they're so scandalous.
Right.
He does terrible things. He really does. He's a I mean, he's a really bad guy. He stiffs people, like working families who like pay for, he like has their contract and then he stiffs them.
Yeah. Is that like proven?
Absolutely. Like they have documented people coming forward. He's done as a businessman. He's just never held a political office.
Right.
Therefore, he hasn't had anything bad happen politically because he's never been in office. Yeah. But as a businessman, he's done horrible things.
Yeah.
And he stiffed a lot of people. He really has.
Yeah.
And he hasn't paid for anything.
Who knows what the hell people, what else people have up their sleeves before the
election. Exactly.
Huh?
Oh, well, I'm hoping for another tape. Everyone says Mark Burnett. So Gloria Allred, who is the woman who you always see as the lawyer coming forward.
Right.
She's apparently going to Mark Burnett's door and knocking on it and requesting and begging and sort of pleading for the tapes to be released from The Apprentice. The behind-the-scenes tapes. Because that footage is apparently the worst of it all.
Really?
They have the N-word. They have terrible things.
Wow.
And Mark Burnett says, I absolutely can't because MGM holds the rights. So now Gloria Allred's going to go to MGM and knock on the door in a big skeptical, in a spectacle. So they want those tapes out. They want them released.
They do.
So you think someone's going to leak something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's all going to come back to haunt him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Billy Bush was just fired, which is interesting.
Oh, so he was fired.
Yeah, so they hold a higher standard for the Today Show than the presidential
election.
Right,
exactly. But not only that, you know, and I did get another email yesterday about men don't talk like Trump, it's bullshit and all this. And I said, you know what, look, I've been around men all my life. Men talk like that among themselves.
Oh, I was just going to say something.
I don't know everything that he said, but if he said anything about assaulting women, I'm not saying that's what I know from conversations. All I know from conversations, if you're talking about grabbing someone's pussy or doing something to her sexually, men talk about it all the time. It's not about I rape her or I'd assault her.
I want to read this.
But then I'd give it to her.
I totally hear that. And I think men absolutely talk like that. But this is what I wanted to tell you because it reminded me of our conversation. No, this is a quote I had. Nobody's mad because Trump said pussy at all. They are mad because he said he can grab them without permission because he's rich. That's why we're mad.
That?
Yes.
Okay.
He said, I can get away with anything because I'm a celebrity. I am mad because he said he can grab my puss without my permission because he's rich.
Right.
I don't care that he talked about pussy. You think I don't talk about pussy in my stand-up set? I don't care that he talked about giving it to her or boning her. Of course I get that. That is guy talk.
Exactly.
But when you say I can do it without her consent because I'm rich, I'm going to have a problem with
that. No, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. I mean,
I didn't know that everything else he said. You have to hear what he says. And
right.
He says, I can do whatever I want because I'm a celebrity. They'll let you do whatever you want. I can grab their pussy.
Right. But you know what? In a lot of the social media, you can see that people end this email of people trying to shut people up because it's like, oh, we don't talk this way.
No, well, that's ridiculous.
Even
I agree.
Women talk that
absolutely
way. Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. Oh, my God. And I'll be the first to admit it.
You know,
I am a dirty, dirty person. When I have a couple shots of vodka, honey, you can't even get me to stop. But here's the thing. I would never say I could do this because I'm this without permission to a man.
Right.
That's just not acceptable. Right. That's what women live through, and that's what rape culture starts with.
Right.
That acceptance of that. But trust me, I'm a dirty I get it.
Yeah.
Sexuality and talking dirty and being with your boys and bonding, I'm all for it. If he had just said, I can't wait to get pussy or whatever, not an issue to me. Even Billy Bush.
Right.
It's the words, I can grab them without permission because I'm rich.
So, okay, so how did Billy Bush do wrong here?
So here's the deal. I didn't think Billy Bush did a lot wrong on the bus. He was just kind of laughing. And to be honest, if I were a host and I had Donald Trump, I might not be like, hey, that was sexist.
Exactly.
So I totally fine for me. It's when he got off the bus is what he did. They were ogling the woman and he's like, ooh, Donald, look at yours. She's got legs. Ooh, Donald scored. Totally fine still. Kind of weird and creepy, but I get it. And he's like, oh yeah, let me get a Tic Tac. Sometimes I can't help myself and I kiss them. I can't help it even if they don't want to. Billy Bush gets off the bus. First of all, Trump didn't know how to get off a bus. He didn't know how to open the door. Did you see it? He knocks. And Billy goes, you have to actually open the handle. He thinks someone opens the bus for. It was the best part of it. So anyway, they get off the bus.
But in buses, they have the automatic door that the driver usually.
Yeah, but it was him getting off the bus. He didn't know how to do it. So he was very funny. So anyway, he gets off the bus. Billy Bush is there. This is seconds after discussing her and ogling her and saying about her breasts and everything and legs. And he said, they meet. Everything is fine. And then seconds later, you see Billy Bush say, aren't you going to give the Donald a hug and a kiss? And then he does, and then kind of uncomfortably, and then he goes, what about a hug for Bushy? What about a kiss for Bushy?
Yeah.
And it's directly after they say they can do whatever they want because they're celebrities.
Yeah.
So it's creepy as hell.
I see. Yeah,
it's not the bus that bothered people. It's the way he set up, like, getting her to kiss him and Trump.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's just weird.
That's true. So they were both talking about, like, forcing them manipulating
absolutely
women,
and then to see him do it right away to a woman was very uncomfortable. And if you watch after the there's footage after this whole, he was a soap star that day on Days of Our Lives, and the last footage is of him, the girl gets up that made him a soap star that they've been talking about on the bus the whole time, and he grabs her arm and tries to pull her in for a kiss, and she like pulls away.
Wow.
So it's like, not only are they talking about it, you see them doing it seconds later. So it's super duper creepy.
Yeah.
And that's why at the debate you saw Tiffany Trump, he goes in to kiss his weird daughter and she pulls away in a very weird, this has become this viral video. He goes to kiss her like he always does and she just pats him on the back and walks away. And you can see, I'm sure a publicist was like, don't let him kiss you because all the shit has come out.
Right.
So it's just bad.
It is. I mean, God, you know, can you imagine being in the spotlight like this, living in a glass house? People, you know, I mean,
I've said terrible things. Everyone has. Yeah. But it was the manipulative, aggressive assault part of it, that I can do it because without their permission because I'm rich, has really crossed a line, I think, for a lot of people.
Yeah,
because I get it, dirty talk. I get that totally. Yeah.
It definitely hurt him. I mean, you know, with a lot of people.
Your president saying I can grab pussy whenever I want without permission.
Right.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
You want, and that's why Republicans in Utah were the very first. The second the tape came out, they're all Mormon.
Mm.
And in Utah, they're having a moment, these Republicans in Utah. They're kind of saying, I want someone with good character.
Right.
And they said, so every Republican in office and governor of Utah has unendorsed him publicly.
Yeah.
They were the first to do so the second when the tapes came out. He said, I can't look at my 15-year-old daughter and say, I want this man.
Right.
And I'm sure he's talked dirty, you know what I'm saying, but he doesn't talk that way.
Right.
So anyway, I think it crossed a line.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the dirty part. It was I can grab.
Okay, so let's clarify that for people.
Yes, please.
And don't write to me like, you know, people don't talk like this. And how can a woman tell me how men talk? You know, it's like women always would go like, oh, you don't know women. You don't know how women think. Well, you know what?
You don't know how men think.
You're
right.
But I know how men think.
That's right. And I really think men are incredibly sexual.
Yeah.
And I think they say some really raw, dirty things.
But so do women. Woman can be in bed with her boy and he's like her man or whatever. And she's like, you know, like, fuck me hard.
Absolutely. But that's consensual.
Do it to me.
But
that's
consensual.
Right.
No one's saying I can do this without permission. No one else is saying that.
Right.
And that's kind of rapey, to be honest. And it's not fun for anyone who's suffered that.
Yeah. I mean, all in all, even if the specifics don't really matter, the bottom line is he does not talk. He does not act presidential.
I mean, Howard Dern got blasted for saying "ah" too loud. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Governor Dean, he was like going for president, and he went "ah," car, and the mic was turned, and he like got out of the race. People were like, you can't yell like that. No, you can't say grab him by the pussy. Poor Howard Dean got just kicked in the balls for that, and this is what's now come out.
Whoa.
So I think there's more. I think there's people say there's tape of him saying the N-word, which I think is really going to land him and the campaign.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, we're out of time, but Janet Jackson is pregnant.
Yeah, she looks beautiful at 50.
At 50.
She just put a baby bump picture out. She looks great, but man, how did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's late in life. That's late in life.
Pretty late.
And it probably involved some kind of artificial.
I'm sure, but like, right? And she looks healthy and beautiful.
Yeah.
But man, that's incredible.
And she's like ageless. All these celebrities, we really look at them as ageless. If somebody just off the street was 50 and brought a kid, people would say, oh, that's great. Not responsible.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
It's dangerous. It's this, blah, blah, blah.
But she's a Jackson.
Exactly. And besides, you know, if you can have a kid
and afford it and have a good life. Exactly.
You know? I would have a kid today if I could.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Have a safe Yom Kippur. If you are having Yom Kippur, you're probably not listening to this live.
Have a good fast break. Fast.
Yeah, there you go.
There you
break
go.
Your fast
break
tonight.
Fast.
I'm breaking mine pretty soon. Stay tuned for State of the Oceans coming up next. A great show if you're an environmentalist and you like to. There's some people that are really in high places as far as activism and stuff, and you'll enjoy that a great deal right here on this channel right after this show. We want to thank Merrily Kern for calling in.
Oh, yes, she was great.
And of course, we always want to thank Tori.
Of course.
Always want to think, Tori.
And you can email me at tshulman@gmail.com if you want to not email Sam so he doesn't get your rants. I'll take them.
There you go. All right, everybody.
I'll take them.
Exactly. Yeah, email her too. Yeah. Or I'll copy you on all.
Yeah, I like him. I like seeing these.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.